Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Our sun is a wonderful example of how the heavens declare God's glory. As it crosses the sky between its rising and its setting, nothing can hide from its heat. Similarly, Jesus, whom Malachi called the Son of Righteousness, is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus gives light to every man, and he continuously speaks words of healing to our spirits, souls, and bodies. Please open your Bible to Psalm 19, verse 4, and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this Psalm of David.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy.
He has set a tabernacle for the sun, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. How the sun makes its course through the sky with strength and with joy, like a man in his prime or an athlete running a race, rising from one end of the heaven, nothing hidden from his heat. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The sun covers the whole sky. Its strength extends everywhere. And the sun, S-U-N here, is a picture of the glory of God. Notice, in them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun that rejoices like a strong man to run his race. The last verse, or in the last chapter of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, who has risen with healing in his wings. Remember when John was on the island of Patmos and he saw the risen, glorified Lord in Revelation 1:16? When he turned, one of the descriptions of Jesus was that his countenance was as the sun that shines in, and he's very specific, his strength. His strength. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the light that lightens every man. Jesus Christ is the great physician who daily, continuously speaks words of life, words of healing, words of comfort, words of warning to mankind. It's interesting, I was reading how the sun emits three kinds of rays. Alpha rays, which are really heat rays, beta rays, which are light rays, gamma rays, which are actinic rays. One, two, three. The living God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And everywhere you look in creation, you see the hand of God. You see the fingerprints of God everywhere. You can't escape it. You know, when the sun sets or dies at night, it's buried below the horizon in this hemisphere, and it disappears. And that's a picture of how after Christ was crucified for our sins, according to the Scriptures, he was buried in the grave. But then the sun rises in the morning, and when it comes up blood red. And that speaks of his rising from the dead, victorious over sin and death, according to the Scriptures. Every day, the sun, rising and setting, preaches the gospel to mankind. Every single day. So when people say, well, what about the pygmy in Africa? Well, first of all, challenge them. Go, if you're really concerned, buy a ticket and go there and share the gospel. They're just looking for a loophole. They could care less. Every day, you and I feel the heat rays. We see the light rays. We experience a living creation preaching to us the Godhead every single day. Just think of that. The universe speaks of God's power. He sustains it. He not only speaks it into existence, he's sustaining it. The Bible tells us that there is going to come a time when God is going to roll up this heaven and earth like a scroll. And then he's going to speak a new universe into existence. And we're going to be there and watch how he did it the first time. Isn't that amazing? So whenever you and I, I'm journeying just like you guys. Sometimes, I hate to say it, but we think in terms of difficulty, don't we? Right? In terms of difficulty. There is no difficulty with God. Difficulty with man? Yeah, no difficulty with God. The prophet Jeremiah said, O Lord God, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. The difficulty lies on our part, never on God's part. Never. With God, nothing is impossible. You and I being here tonight on a Wednesday night is a miracle. You realize that, right? I can tell you, 45 years ago, I would not have been in a church on a Wednesday night with a Bible open praising God. And many of you would not have been here either. You're a miracle of God. When you were wallowing in your chaos, in your darkness, and your fallenness, and God began to reveal to you that emptiness inside. The gospel was preached to you, and God said, let there be life, and all of a sudden, whoa, what happened? Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. When he says nothing, what does that mean? No thing. But we have a hard time with that. Somebody comes up for prayer and they go, Pastor Ray, we've got the flu. Okay. Running with oil. Thinking, well, it's just a flu. I'm not saying that we don't take it seriously. Okay, we'll pray for you. We think, okay. Then someone comes up and they says, you know, Pastor Ray, can we pray? We got tuberculosis. Tuberculosis. Oh, my. Now, that's serious, right? We have degrees of seriousness with God. Is there any degree? It's like you hear a prayer for flu. You hear a prayer for stage 4, this. You think God goes, now what are we going to do? Now, there's so much that we don't understand. There's secret things that belong unto God, but he has all power. Remember that. He has all power. He has power to change things in a moment. And we call that God Abba. That's my dad. So there you are. You're out walking down the beach, along the beach or something like that, and having a conversation with people that you're just meeting. I love it when my wife and I go on vacation. She's a beachaholic. Oh, my. I walk around with an umbrella and say, well, you just talk about, you know, your folks. You go, yeah, can I show you a picture of my dad? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you got a bathing somewhere. You go, right there. Look, there's my dad. Where? See the stars? See the moon? See that? That's my dad. That's my dad. My daddy did that. He said, whoo! He says, light be, stars be, galaxies be, universe be. That's my dad. Then they start picking up the temple real quick because they get... creation. My, wow. And then he goes right from creation to the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So in the first 6 verses, God is referred to as El. El E-L, the most generic word for God in the Hebrew language, even more generic than the commonly used Elohim. But in verses 7 through 9, there's a change. God is referred to as Yahweh, or the Lord, the God of covenant love and faithfulness to his people. And so this covenant God who created the universe now speaks to us personally and practically through his word. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And here, David abruptly shifts from praising the God who reveals himself in creation to praising the same God for revealing himself in his word. You see, you and I are so saturated with this book, so saturated with this book. We can get it. I mean, there's pretty soon there's going to be the newborn Bible. Bah, bah, something. We have all kinds of Bibles, all kinds of translations, in all kinds of forms. And we have them all over the place. And we become so accustomed to having it that we don't know what it's like to not have it. And you've heard stories, testimonies of brothers and sisters in the Lord in this day and age, in planets who live in areas where, or countries where the Bible is forbidden, and somehow Bibles are smuggled in, and they will rip out a chapter and they will pass it around. And they hold that and they cherish that. I remember one time teaching a Bible study in India, and I happened to put my Bible on the ground. It was in a village, and I didn't mean it irreverently. Somebody came up and picked it up and put it in my hand. And I thought, okay. I said, that should not be put on the ground. That's holy. See, but we kind of like take it for granted. We can get it online. We can get our favorite color. We can get pink-covered Bibles. Right? And so here David now goes from the splendor of creation, the awesomeness of creation, to the splendor and the awesomeness of his word. It's as if David says, creation tells us much about God, but his word tells us much more. Now, creation speaks. God's word, the Logos, speaks. But you know that when God completed the Logos, there's no new revelation. God's Rhema still speaks to you and to me. It will never contradict or be contrary to his word, but God still speaks. Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. He didn't say my sheep will know the Bible. My voice. And there are some sectors of Christendom that says as if after the last word in Revelation was written, it's like God became muzzled. He never stopped. He still speaks. And I love that he speaks. And if that sounds strange to you, then I don't know what to tell you. The law of the Lord. The Hebrew word for law here is Torah. It means instruction. It means direction. It means teaching. Paul the Apostle tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, now this is another 15-second rant, maybe 30-second rant. Do you realize that we're living in a day and age that now some churches say, well, you know what? A lot of the Bible really is kind of boring. And so what we need to do is let's just teach like the overview of it. Because you know that if you go through Leviticus, who's going to come and hear Leviticus? And so let's make it exciting. Let's make it thrilling. Let's get some sound bites. Let's get some real, real cool music. And since there's smoke in heaven, let's have some smoke machines. And instead of thus saith the Lord, just hit the highlights. What an insult that is to our God. There is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. How dare anybody tell you or me, well, that's not profitable. It is profitable. All scripture is profitable. And how is it possible for any under shepherd to be able to bring the sheep of God through all the counsel of God without teaching all the word of God? What part do you pick to leave out? It's nonsense. Now, one reason why the word of God is a greater revelation than creation is that it tells us much more about God. It reveals him as the covenant God of love. And the one who knows the word of God and the God of the word is an individual who will have a joy and a peace that passes understanding in a crazy world, because crazy thing happens to God's people, doesn't it? To all of us. And so David now begins to make these glorious statements about the word of God, how wonderful it is, how effective it is. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's word is perfect. It gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, having said that, while scripture does not give us all knowledge that it does give to us is true and perfect. You know that God says much more than what is in this book. In fact, there's a portion of the Revelation where John was told not to write some of the things that God was doing. So we have the revealed will of God. There's the secret will of God. There's the unspoken word of God. But understood in its literary context, God's word is never wrong in history or science or the understanding of either the divine or human nature. God's word is perfect. And one of the ways it manifests its perfection is that it converts the soul. When a person opens up this book with a sincere heart, with a desire to know God, with a prayer, God, speak to my heart, there is a regenerating power in the reading and the hearing and the obeying of the God's word that goes beyond intellectual benefit. God's word will change you from the inside out. That's what God does. You see, religion works from the outside in. You know, religion is a corpse with makeup on, right? God uses the word religion in the book of James, but this is regeneration. We need to be regenerated. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. It's just as living tonight as it was when David wrote it. The Hebrew word translated here as converting can also be translated as reviving. You ever felt like you needed revival, even as a believer? You ever felt like dry inside or dead inside, or you needed just some restoration? Anybody? That's what will happen. Just pick up the word of God. Get alone with him somewhere and just read. I mean, people say, well, Pastor Ray, I read it yesterday and I read it day before, but I don't remember what I read. So I'm discouraged. And I said, okay, what did you have for breakfast 2 days ago? Well, I don't know. Did you eat? You ate, didn't you? Uh-huh. Yeah. The word of God does not return void. It's not like every time you read it, bells and whistles go off. But I can guarantee you put that manna in you, you put that incorruptible seed in you, and the Spirit of God will bring it out exactly when you need it to be brought out, exactly at that time. Just take God's word and hide it. It will revive you. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord restores my soul. He will revive me. Because sometimes in our journey, we get a little flat, don't we? Oh, we do all the right things, but we get a little flat. Sometimes we get a little overwhelmed. And God's word, his word, will revive us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's word is sure. It means it's reliable. You can depend upon the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The amazing thing is that God already sees everything wrapped up. He already sees you and I in heavenly places in Christ. It's a done deal. You see, because God's word is so sure and simple, it does the work of making the wise simple. Now, the word simple in the Bible does not speak of those individuals that may be mentally deficient or people who are naive and just believe anything. It speaks of those who have a heart like a child, who believe what God says and just acts on it. You know, there are a lot of people with a very, very simple education or upbringing that have tremendous wisdom in life because they simply believe God's word and act on it. It makes the simple wise. I love that. I like, maybe because I'm simple. Makes the simple wise, just wise. Many, many years ago, we had a student that asked me to come in and do something on governments in the Bible. It was in Hilton High School. And so I went and did something on governments in the Bible and referred to Daniel and how he had to pray for people in government. I didn't really get into anything that would have been controversial. But one of the students at the end asked a question. He says, well, Pastor Rick, can I ask you a question? I go, well, what is your view on creation? I said, well, the Bible says that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And then there were a couple of people in the class, adults in the class, and they scurry out of the room. And all of a sudden, there's a few teachers in the room. And I'm thinking, now, what's going on here? It was a science teacher, a biology teacher, and all of this. And they go, we have a question for you. Did you just make a statement that God created? I go, yeah, yeah. Then where'd you get that from? I said, well, I got that from the Bible. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so then they began rattling off a whole bunch of words that I wish I had a thesaurus. I don't understand them. I really didn't understand them, and I wasn't there to get into a debate with them. And so I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I don't agree with you with all due respect. This is your school. I came here to talk about this. I said, but let me ask you in the beginning. I believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You tell me, in the beginning what? No, you tell them. And they began to rattle off all of these material things. I said, excuse me, where did that come from? And then, well, there was a big bang. Well, the Bible says there is a big bang. It's at the end. Where did it all come from? In the beginning, God created. That's it. That's it. That's it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.